Deuteronomy 16:11, it says to celebrate and rejoice on Shavuot. So this is a celebrate and rejoice. So you're supposed to be happy. So everybody smile. Yes. Okay, we've kept the feast. But these feasts are in Leviticus also in chapter 23. You can read about all of them. And it's also a Shabbat of no work. All right. This is the last holy day of the first coming of Messiah that was fulfilled with the first coming of Mashiach. So he came and he dies on Passover. He's buried on unleavened bread. He rises on the Feast of First Fruits, the barley. And now we have the Feast of Weeks, which is the fourth one. And this was 10 days after he ascended to heaven. And so we have the first four fulfilled with his first coming. And with this fourth one, you actually have the birth of the body of Mashiach or the body of Messiah. And so if let me say it this way. Do you know that you're in a body? The body of God. It's really quite a privilege. What a blessing to actually be in. It's called the body of Messiah. But think about it in the spiritual sense. You are actually in the body of Messiah. You are one with him because of what happened at Acts chapter 2 at Shavuot, right? So we counted 7 weeks from the Feast of First Fruits when they waved the barley offering, which is Resurrection Day. The name of Resurrection Day is Sefirot HaOmer or the Feast of First Fruits. Biblically, that other word is not in the Bible. Amen. And not in a good way. So this is the fourth one, right? And so it is the great one for us as a body of Messiah. The next one, the next holy day now, will be, of the 7 Torah feasts, will be Shemitah. The Shemitah. Yes, so you have from now until Yom Teruah, the Feast of Trumpets, to enjoy everything, oneg, go play golf. No, we don't know what will happen at Shemitah, but yes, the next holy day after this one is when that falls, all right? So anyway, this is wheat was the, or barley was the Feast of First Fruits. Now it's the wheat offering. And so there was a wave offering of wheat, and I think we have some bread loaves here that we can do a wave offering. Remind me after we're done here, we can do that. And that there'll be a wave offering tomorrow at the lake also. Okay, so this is a cool holy day because it not only tells you when to do it, but it commands where to do it. And it's interesting because the Feast of First Fruits, Resurrection Day, was not kept in the wilderness. It had to be kept in the land, Haaretz, the land. And so after they crossed the Jordan and went by Jericho, they actually kept the Feast of First Fruits for the first time. And then the manna stopped, remember? And so it was kept in the Holy Land, the land of Israel. But now this feast was not kept until the place where God chose was revealed. And this was another several hundred years later that the place that God chose was revealed. It was revealed with David, Melech David, right? With the buying of the threshing floor on Temple Mount. This place right up here, the holy place where God put his name forever, and it's his name is still there. All right, so that is the place that God said, I will choose. Then you will do the Feast of Weeks. So First Fruits is in the land only. Weeks is in Jerusalem only. So we have this kind of progression. Hallelujah. And then Messiah told the disciples, don't leave Jerusalem until the promise comes. And so that's what the fulfillment of this holy day is. All right, so there was 2 leavened loaves, though, baked on one sheet. 2 leavened loaves is a mystery in the Tanakh. The Old Testament, it was always a mystery. What do 2 loaves represent as a wave offering? And why in the world, I mean, it must be a misprint in the Torah. Why in the world would you put leaven in something and take it into the temple? But the Torah commands that the bread be waved with leaven in it. It commanded not one loaf, but 2, remember the Feast of First Fruits was 1 sheath of grain. Now we have baked bread, but 2 loaves. And they had to have leaven in them. You can't take leaven in it. temple. See, it's confusing, isn't it? But this is by design, of course. The signature of God is all over every verse of our Bible. And so this created a mystery. And a mystery in Shaul's writings, Apostle Paul's writings, is defined as something that is revealed in the Brit Hadashah in the New Covenant that wasn't really revealed literally in the whole of Tanakh. And so the mystery of the two leavened loaves was never revealed in the whole of the Old Testament days, but then is revealed in the Brit Hadashah. So there's not very much that wasn't revealed, but one of the things is, what is the two leavened loaves? And at Pentecost, we see this coming forth, and then the rest of the epistles really gets into this in detail. Okay, so anyway, the mystery of the loaves is now revealed. And let me show you what this mystery is. And in Colossians and Ephesians, and this is talked about there. But and we can go a lot of different directions on Shavuot, but I'll try to hit these two high spots. The first high spot of Shavuot, if you are not Jewish, is for you. Because the two leavened loaves are two people groups. It is the Jewish people and the Goyim. And so this is why it was leavened, is it's showing these two loaves represent people. Anashim, people. And there's two kinds of people on earth. There is Israel, and there is the nations. There is the Jew, and there is the Goyim, is the word for nations, Gentiles. It doesn't mean pagan. It just means people group, okay? So there's two people groups. And this is a mystery revealed because with Shavuot and the giving of the Holy Spirit and the birth of the body of Messiah, there is now, therefore, no longer Jew and Gentile, but just one body by the Spirit. And so the mystery of the two loaves is the one new man of Ephesians 2. And the one body of 1 Corinthians. That we all know these verses. You are now one body in Messiah. And that doesn't matter, Jew or Gentile. Now, there is other areas where it does matter, Jew or Gentile. But when it comes to being in the body of Messiah by the blood of the Lamb, there's no difference between man, woman, Jew or Gentile, slave, free, all those things that we read about, right? So this is a very good holiday. If you are a Gentile, a Goy, you can say this holy day is my favorite. Amen. Because of this, I'm in. I get in. I get into the family of God. I get into the kingdom of God. I get into the whole concept of the blessings of the new covenant. And in another way, the second part of this is that God gets in me. See, now you get to be in God. You are in the body of Messiah. But the second part of Shavuot is the giving of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. So now not only do you get to be in God, but now God gets to be in you. Now, is that good news or what? And this is something that had never happened before. The Holy Spirit would be on people before Pentecost. The Holy Spirit would be on people, but never the indwelling of the person of Messiah himself inside of man until Acts chapter 2. So this was when you must be born again or born from above. It never happened until they were at the temple that day on Shavuot. So these are the two topics. Gentiles are in, and the Holy Spirit is in. You get to be in God as a Goy, and the Holy Spirit gets in you. Amen? So, hallelujah. And this, then, therefore, is the birthday of the body of Messiah, which is called the church, or ecclesia, or kehilat, as we call it in Hebrew. Amen? This is kehilat hagiga here. Kehilat is church, and Haggigah is celebration or party. Welcome to the party, church. God loves to throw a party. You ever notice that? This is why he commanded it to be celebrated with joy and with rejoicing and with joy. All right. Okay, so those are the two great topics. Now, when it comes to the Gentiles, this was also shown because in the verses on keeping Shavuot, it goes into right away not gleaning the field, not gleaning the edges of the field. And so why does this attach then to Shavuot and the Goyim is because the Jewish people always read the book of Ruth on Shavuot. And what is the book of Ruth showing us? That the Goy comes in to the family of God. And why do they read the book of Ruth? Because Ruth's story happens because she's gleaning the fields of Boaz. Right? And because she's gleaning the fields, she meets the kinsman redeemer. And the kinsman redeemer then, therefore, is a sign and a coming of the real kinsman redeemer, which is Yeshua HaMashiach. And Boaz and her marry. And they have Obed. And Obed is the father of Jesse. Or Ishai. And Eshe is the father of Jesse. Jesse is the father of David, which is Melech David, King David. And so from the joining of the Goy with the family of God in the book of Ruth, we have the first coming of Messiah. Because the first verse of your New Testament says that Yeshua HaMashiach is the son of David. And so he one of his divine titles is Ben David. And so he comes, though, his great-grandmother is a Goy. Right? And so, see, we have the gleaning of the field, the mystery of the two loaves. So it was never revealed literally, but it was revealed in the picture of Ruth. But it was never really seen that, and of course still not today, by our Jewish friends that are starting to read Torah right now in Jerusalem. They will recognize Ruth as a Goy, but they won't progress it to what happened in Acts chapter 2 with the giving of the Holy Spirit. But we will, hallelujah, and they will, coming soon to a world near you. Amen. Stay tuned. Don't go anywhere. This show's almost over. You're gonna miss the finale if you don't pay attention. Sorry. All right. So, but you got to love the story of Ruth. And that she attaches herself to Israel. Now, remember, you are a Ruth company, a root. It's, in Sephardic, it's just root, like root beer. And beer in Hebrew is whale. So you have root beer or Beer Sheva. You know, it's you could name your kid root beer. And I don't know where I was. Really? Oh, yeah. Oh, you are Ruth. Yes, and remember, if a Goy has to join with Israel and say, you are my people for the Messiah to come the first time, then let me say also, there needs to be somebody attaching themselves to Israel for him to come the second time. And this is one of the reasons God has blessed you so much to be who you are. You have been raised up to be the Ruth company of the second coming. And most of the church is now going to back away from the Jewish roots. It's already happening. The Jewish roots movement in the church from the last 30 years is on the decline. Now there's more church kind of hugging Islam and two-state solution and all this sort of thing. And so you, though, you have to be that Ruth company that will say, don't try to talk me out of it. I'm not going anywhere. And even if the Jew says, why don't you go back to your own place? Orpah went back. Don't name your kid Orpah. Name your kid Ruth. Because Ruth said, no, I'm not going back to Moab. I am going to stay with you. And where you die, I'll die. Where we'll be buried together. And she said, your God is my God. And so I say, Hashem is my God. Say that. Hashem is my God. Hashem is my God. It's a powerful thing. Hashem is just how we say the Tetragrammaton, you know. Okay. So, and of course, we have Romans 11, which is the Gentiles coming in the church, and Ephesians 2, the one new man, is the theology of Romans 11, is a picture. Ephesians 2 is the theology of the picture. Okay, so we can move to, now, the Gentiles coming in. I'll finish that point, and then we'll go to the Ruach HaKodesh. The Gentiles didn't come in at Acts chapter 2, but the Holy Spirit came, and this then started the church movement, which shortly went to the Goy. Okay? We don't know how long it is between Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 10, but it's not all that long. But the church began, it was all Jews, no Gentiles, right? And remember, there's a mystery here, and the mystery of Shavuot is revealed by the coming in of the second loaf. And what happens is we have Cornelius's house, good old Corny. He is a Roman. And once again, he's just like Naaman. Remember Naaman came, and remember Naaman's dirt message? Naaman would not worship except on Jewish soil. So he asked Elisha for 2 camel loads of Jewish dirt to take back to Syria and Damascus, because he would not worship on pagan soil any longer. He would worship on Jewish soil only. Naaman is a great example of the Jewish roots movement. I want to worship on Jewish soil. I can't live in Israel, but by gollies, I can worship on the Jewish context of it, right? Instead of the Roman context of it. Sorry. All right. So, I'm sorry. Not so much. Okay. But anyway, Acts chapter 10, then we come to Corny's house, and he is a Roman soldier, just like Naaman was a soldier of the enemy of Israel. Now, Cornelius is a soldier of the enemy of Israel, but he loves Israel, and he loves the Jewish people. So who is the first Goy to get filled with the Holy Spirit and come into the body of Messiah? One that was attached to Israel already. So this is a good sign. You want to be like Cornelius, the Roman soldier. All right. And so anyway, Shimon goes there because the Holy Spirit shows him you got to go there. And of course, Shimon, being a nice Jewish boy, says no. He just says no to God. You ever do that? It never works. Am I the only one? See, Shimon ends up there anyway, right? And so you can argue with God, that's fine, but just get ready to lose. So he goes there, and he goes in and says, you know, it's unlawful for me to be here. Why? Because the Torah, the former covenant, separates Israel and the nations, and they have to stay apart. And so in the new covenant, they come together, right? And so the Gentiles are included, and this is the mystery. So Cornelius gets allowed into the body of Messiah, but he was allowed in by, not by a program, not by circumcision, and not by some kind of church meeting. He was brought in by one thing. The Holy Spirit fell on them just like it did in Jerusalem at Acts chapter 2. The Holy Spirit fell on these Romans. Blasphemy! Now, so what happens? Peter goes back to Jerusalem and he's in trouble. He gets in trouble. So now we have the trial in Acts 15. And in Acts 15, we come up with the Tabernacle of David, Sukkashel David. And the Tabernacle of David was a prophetic picture of this very thing happening, but it was not literally that clear. And so it's still a mystery about the Goyim coming into the body, into the kingdom of God, as it were. So in the trial, Yaakov Tzadik brings up the Tabernacle of David, and we don't have time to go into why the Tabernacle of David includes the Goyim, but you can read that in Chronicles there, I believe. But the rendition, though, the verdict of the court in Jerusalem, this court is in order. I am Yaakov Tzadik, and I will give my ruling at this time. What are we going to do about these Gentiles being filled with the Holy Spirit? And this was a court, right? And I don't know if he talked just like that, but probably pretty close. And what did he say? He said, the Holy Spirit fell on them just like it did on us. Therefore, it feels good to the Holy Spirit for us to allow them to come in as they are, uncircumcised. And this was the verdict in Acts 15. And so the Gentiles were in, and they didn't have to be circumcised. Aren't you glad? Okay, moving right along. But you have to read about that tabernacle of David in another message when we have time. So anyway, the second loaf mystery is now revealed. It is the idea that Gentiles are fellow heirs with Israel. And this was always taught by the rabbis that the Gentiles, the nations, would come in to the kingdom. But it was always taught that it would be after Messiah establishes his kingdom on earth, then the law will go forth from Zion and the nations will get their act together. Nobody ever dreamed that a goy could be in the body of Messiah. It had to happen this way. So if you are goy today, are you so happy for Cornelius? Are you so happy for Ruth? Are you so happy for the blessing of God on your life today that he has brought you to this point in time and allow you to be one that is attached to Israel? Aren't you happy? See, it's the greatest blessing. And it doesn't make you better than anybody else. Don't go there. It just is such a blessing. It's such a cool blessing. Oh, man. Okay. Now, the giving of the Holy Spirit is the second greatest thing God gets in you. And I just make a couple points here on that. Everybody is equal in the body of Messiah when it comes to the Holy Spirit and the blood of Jesus getting you in. And so it creates this one body, and you are all one body. So we're all family, isn't it? By the Holy Spirit, indwelling man, we're all relatives now. I know I recognize some of you. But see, only God could come up with this kind of an idea, that God, by the Holy Spirit, would actually get in the people that believe and create this body that they're all together. And they're all connected. See, you are never a person in Messiah. You are always a body. You're never a individual. It is a body thing, a group thing. And this is so cool. And then, so we have all this teaching on the unity of the body by the Holy Spirit. And then, you, not to even mention all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And then, not to mention the fruit. Ahava Simcha Vashalom. Love, joy, and peace. Right? In this body, there's this fruit. And the next one's patience, but I didn't get any of that, so I won't talk about it. Mike got half what I got. But now, by this Holy Spirit thing, and this is what I want to finish with for Shavuot, Oat, and it's not exactly a Shavuot Oat message, but this idea of the Holy Spirit actually being in us, so we are one with Messiah. This is what allows for intimacy, relationship, actually hearing the voice of God. This is the best stuff of church. This is what really makes the church so incredibly, supernaturally great. It's the Holy Spirit and its operation in us. And what I want to say is that in one of these verses, it's talking about the unity in the body of Messiah, and it says, forgive one another. And I'll just throw that out before I stop here, but forgiving people is not always too easy. Okay, let's just say it's very hard sometimes. But by the Holy Spirit, see, if you will let the Holy Spirit work in your heart, you can forgive people. Now, forgiveness releases the power. See, if you got unforgiveness, it stops up all the blessings, stops up all the power. And I mean, you just need to get the plumber and get over unforgiveness and have the Holy Spirit show you stuff. Like sometimes you just need to stop and say, am I pretending I've forgiven everybody and there's something? But and it really, though, it's so hard, but it's so good. When you start to walk in forgiving people, you feel something. And it's like, you had reason to be angry. Of course you had reason to be angry. Doggone that guy. I'm right and he's wrong and God knows it. But you start letting the Holy Spirit come. Oh. And now you start to feel something. And the first thing you notice is, I was angry about something. I can't remember what I was angry about. I know it was a good reason, though. What is this I feel? Oh, I know this feeling. I'm feeling the love of God. See, the Holy Spirit is where the love comes through. It's like the river that our life is anchored in, that we have to have this movement of the Holy Spirit in our life, or it just isn't working. Get the unforgiveness out of your life. Let the Holy Spirit flow. Let the good stuff get operating in your life again. I was so angry, but I can't remember what it was. What is that feeling I got now? I remember this feeling. It's the love. Ooh, it's the Simcha. That's what it is. I'm feeling joy. It's by the Holy Spirit, see. And all the fruit and all the gifts of the Holy Spirit, that's what is the thing that holds the church together. And that's what can make us in unity, is because the Holy Spirit can stop the unforgiveness. Amen. And so anyway, be filled with the Holy Spirit today. At Acts chapter 2, the last verse of chapter 1, it says they cast lots to replace Yehudas. Then the next verse is, and the day of Pentecost came. They don't cast lots anymore because Messiah leads you by the Holy Spirit. And so all the Holy Spirit stuff leads you, builds you up, sanctifies you, transforms you, and gives you the intimacy that we have to exist as a congregation. So be filled with the Ruach HaKodesh. Amen. And let these things go. Let them drain out your boots. Just let the unforgiveness and the bitterness and it's not easy, though. I'm not saying that it's ever easy. And because you get wounded in life, and the church is an excellent place to get wounded. Goodness gracious. But a pastor told me one time, no, don't ever trust a Christian without scars. Well, you all got some, so I trust you. Don't you all have some? Amen. So you get hurt, and you get wounded. The Holy Spirit, let it come. Let him come and heal you. Just let this stuff drain out your boots so you can get all the good stuff flowing again. And then you'll be filled with Ahava, Simcha, Shalom, love, joy, and peace, and maybe even some patience. So, are you happy for Shavuot? If you're a goy, say, I'm happy. If you're filled with the Spirit, say, I'm happy. Yavarekaka Adonai v'yishmereka. Ye'ir Adonai panava leka v'chu necha. Yiso Adonai panava leka v'yotzeim leka shalom. B'shem Yeshua HaMashiach sar ha-shalom. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you and lift his countenance upon you and give you peace and fill you with the Holy Spirit and cleanse you and bless you and sanctify you and heal your wounds and fill you with some more Holy Spirit and make you so full of love you just want to love people to pieces, even if you didn't like them before, but now you can't even remember why you didn't like them, because you got the love of God flowing in you and the Holy Spirit. So Lord God, just Pour out your Holy Spirit on this Shavuot, on the whole world. Just go to Jerusalem, too. Pour out some Ruach HaKodesh there again, Lord God, with all of our Jewish friends, and fill all these people with the Holy Spirit even more than they thought they could be filled, and get some more love on them. Here comes some joy, too. Amen. Oh, there's some healing of the hearts here with the Ruach HaKodesh. The Holy Spirit is healing your wounds, healing your wounds, healing the hurts that you've had, and now he's filling you up again. Here comes some more joy, and here comes a wave of the Holy Ghost for the whole world to get filled with the Holy Spirit. It's Shavuot. Oh, hug Sameach. Shabbat Shalom.